One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you are right in saying, 'He is one, and there is no other than he,' and 'to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices.'" And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The setting for that first reading from the book of Deuteronomy is, or the book of Deuteronomy, it's the fifth book of the Bible. It's like the last of the Pentateuch, which is like this core collection of the most important scriptures that we receive from in the Old Testament, from the Jewish people, from the Israelites. And what it is, that book is kind of like a summary of all the teachings of Moses altogether. You have the Ten Commandments are in there, these different rules for the priests and so forth. But really, it's kind of like the compilation of the greatest hits of the preachings of Moses right before they're about to enter into the Promised Land, to send up the Jerusalem. They're going to have to conquer it. There's some of that that's going on. But what they've just finished is 40 years of being out in the desert, having to rely on God completely. So basically, this is a finalization of this transitional period from slavery, 40 years in the desert, to the homeland that had been promised to Abraham some 1,000 years before, maybe not quite that many. God had already entered into many covenants with individuals and families. With Adam and Eve, that was a covenant that he had with them that was broken. Noah and the flood, there was a covenant he made after the flood. And then he made another one with Abraham saying, "I promise you this people and these lands and descendants." And then finally, but it's growing out from there. So finally, it's not just a covenant with an individual. It's a covenant with an entire people. And they go up on Mount Sinai and they receive this covenant, the Ten Commandments, and they sacrifice animals, and there's blood that's spread in name of the covenant in order to ratify the covenant. And what these covenants are, it's a way of becoming family with whoever you're entering the covenant with. So different peoples, different tribes would enter into covenants with each other, and there would be a blood sacrifice. And that blood sacrifice is something along the lines of, if I ever break this familial bond that we're entering into, let what has happened to this blood sacrifice happen to me. It's a way of saying, cross my heart, poke me in the eye and wish to die, or however that goes. Remember, when's the last time you did that? Kindergarten? Or on the playground, something like that. But that's what it comes. It's an oath. It's a covenant. It's entering into family. And God wants to do that with not just Adam and Eve, not just with Noah, not just with Abraham and his immediate family, not just with the people of Israel, but he's going to be doing that with all of us in the person of Jesus Christ. He becomes family, becomes one of us, and actually becomes human like us. That takes us a little bit off course here for this morning. But what's happening now is, now that they're already in this covenant, now God is gifting to them this land where he had promised to bless them. It's going to be yours, and I will be with you, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. God's saying, I've been desiring, longing to share every good thing with you. I want you to be in my family. I want you to be part of what we are, the Trinity. And so God is promising to give all of himself unconditionally. But he asks, you give all of yourself unconditionally. And I want you to give yourself to me unconditionally. And I want you to give yourself to each other unconditionally. God had little by little brought them from this place of slavery. He knew he couldn't just pick them up out of Egypt, out of slavery, and drop them into this new land, because their hearts weren't ready to love like that. They weren't capable of giving themselves totally to God. He needed to form them. He needed to teach them. He needed to test them through trials, through error, through falling down and getting back up again. That's why it took 40 years. It was going to be less time, but they weren't up to the task. So it's like, okay, here we go. It's not just going to be 1 year. It's not just going to be 40 days. It's going to be 40 years. That's what it's going to take. And through that, he's giving them and helping them sort of incorporate into their way of thinking and being something that was very different from where they were coming from. I mean, before, like you see places in the Old Testament, before the Ten Commandments, literally it was, you take one of my eyes, and I'm taking 10 of yours, you and your family. And that was just how it was. Now, God knew that he didn't want to stay that way. So he says now in the Ten Commandments and the subsequent teachings that he gives along with that are, just one eye for one eye, one tooth for one tooth. But how are we going to make sure they don't do it again and they lose it? One eye for one eye, one tooth for one tooth. I mean, to us, that doesn't sound radical. Because we, roughly speaking, have grown up in a Judeo-Christian culture where it's like, yeah, there's a sense of justice, and that's kind of been built into what we are. But I tell you, the farther down we start sliding, the more and more that one eye, what 10 eyes for one eye, is going to start being more the actual way things play out. Now, Jesus is going to take it beyond that. He's going to say, when someone asks you to go 1 mile, go 6 miles. When someone hits you in one cheek, turn and give them the other. It's even farther still. But it's a progressive education. Start where they are, develop this relationship with them, and he asks them, point higher. Aim your hearts higher. Instead of inwardly focused towards selfishness and egoism, I want you to have it outwardly focused, first of all to me, the one who's giving everything to you, and then to all of your brothers and sisters. Now, Moses gives this teaching here in Deuteronomy, and he adds a little bit of punctuation to it, like a big exclamation mark, at the very end of this book in the final chapters. He says, I call heaven and earth as a witness to you, as a witness against you today, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that your descendants may live. This whole thing about to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength is not a nice to have. No, it's like the only way that life works. And when we don't do that, it's a path of death. Individually, familiar in our families, and it just spreads out in a fractal way beyond that. It's the most fundamental teaching. That's why when Jesus asks, or when the scribes asks him, hey, what is the greatest teaching? And he says, to love your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Again, we're kind of lost in front, where we're a little bit tone deaf to the fact of how strong of a teaching this was and how radically different that was compared to going anywhere else in any other religion and any other history at that time. And maybe sometimes we can be a little bit tone deaf to how important and how different and how challenging that is today and how different that message is today compared to any other number of voices religiously, culturally, politically that are out there today. Love your neighbor as yourself. Hugely challenging. Hugely challenging. Our natural tendency is towards, because of original sin, we have this concupiscence, this downward trend towards pride, selfishness, vainglory, revenge, power, lust, gluttony, egoism, using, manipulating others. We've all got that. I'm equally infected. We've all got that. Yet this is where he calls us upward, love, mercy, sacrifice, forgiveness, selflessness, generosity, magnanimity, the gift of yourself, to give and sacrifice of yourself. In 2 days, yeah, we're going to get political here for just a second. Don't worry, it won't be too painful. In 2 days, half the country is going to be mad, and the other half of the country is going to be celebrating. And honestly, right now, whatever side you find yourself or will find yourself, that's not the point I would like to make. Because ultimately, whatever you do in the ballot, yes, it's important. It is important. But it's not as important as if you embrace this and do this. You want to see the country go in the right direction? Love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might, and your neighbor as yourself. Do that. Do that on Tuesday. And it'll have a much bigger impact than what your vote will be. It's got to be like that. Absolutely has to be. And it scales up and down. I mentioned this in another homily some time ago. It's fractal. You live that on a personal level. Let's just use Tuesday as an example. As you go about and you see banners and you see things on the internet and chaos is erupting or whatever, there's probably going to be demonstrations. Who knows how hectic things are going to get. And you strive to point upwards with all your heart and to love God with all your might and all your strength. And you strive to do that to your neighbor just as you would want them to do unto you. Much bigger impact. That's what God's calling us to do. And if we're not doing that, it doesn't matter who's going to be the president come January. It doesn't matter. Because we're all just pointing down and pointing inward rather than pointing up and outward. Because the whole thing just starts to come apart. We come apart when we don't live that way. Selfishness consumes us. Generosity expands us and grows us. Love for God elevates us, dignifies us. Indifference towards God, we really start to get decomposed and disjointed as an individual, in your family, in your town, in your city, and it just all scales up. So let that be the challenge for this week. Is we're in, who knows, this might be a kind of a rough ride. We don't know. We'll find out. But God is still God. And that is ultimately what most, the way we respond to God's infinite, unconditional love for us is what most changes us individually in our culture, in our world.